We're older, more diverse, less likely to be Catholic, and less likely to own our home. Those are among the findings of the latest census carried out in April of last year. On that night, the population of the state stood at 5.15 million. The population north and south is now at its highest level since before the famine. George Lee, our environment correspondent, has been looking through the figures. George, it's a fascinating document. We could be here until lunchtime talking about this. And I mean, these are just the findings announced yesterday are in a way just an overview. I mean, there's so much more detail to come over the next few months. But will we start with what this document tells us about who we are and where we're living?
Well, what it tells us, firstly, I think, is that we've been underestimating the growth in the population. Obviously, we're getting a little bit older. 38.8 is the average age in the country. So it's gone up a little bit over 6 years, by 1.4 years. And you can see that a lot of the growth in the population, it's in every single county. For the first time ever, the growth in the population, the dominant force has been inward migration. In nearly all counties, that has been the dominant force. An odd one or two where it has been natural increase, but every county has also had natural increase. And that's unusual insofar as that it's the first time in the first census where we have net inward migration into Ireland being bigger than natural growth in the population. So there's something attractive about Ireland. And I think that we should recognise that this isn't a bad place to live. And a lot of people will be pretty happy to come here, despite us knocking ourselves all of the time. But what it does show is that there's greater growth in the eastern counties, that there's greater population pressures coming than we ever expected. The view was, and when you look at the National Development Plan, that we would have had a million extra people by 2040. From 2016, this report says that we have nearly 40% of that already. And we're at now only in 2022. So they have underestimated the requirements in terms of planning for all sorts of things between now and 2040. We're going to need much more in terms of schools, in terms of hospitals, in terms of healthcare, all of these things, because in terms of the plan. So we really need to kind of maybe have a quick look at that and see whether or not we've underestimated the pressures which are there.
Let's look at some of those pressures. Will we start with schools? I mean, what does this document tell us about the need for school places in the years to come?
One of the things it shows is in terms of the population bulges, where the age groups are, there were two particular bulges which have gone through. The first one is people who are the age of 40, 42, and the second bulge is children who are at the age of 12. So those children in 2022 were leaving, they were probably in sixth class in primary school. They probably moved in or are moving into secondary school now. That is a huge lump of extra population coming through into the secondary school system right now. And it will decline over the next couple of years according to the population numbers which are there in the population pyramid. But you can see that that is right across the board. And so you'll see wherever there are schools, you're going to have to be very careful because the demand, in particularly in secondary schools, is going to increase significantly.
And hence we're already hearing in some parts of the country about how difficult it can be to get a school place in a particular area. Talk to us also, if you would, about transport and about public transport in particular. What does this document tell us?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It says that more, despite all of the effort to get people out of cars, 4% increase in terms of number of people travelling to work by cars. All of the investment in public transport, there's a 4% reduction in the number of people travelling to work by train or Dart or Lewis. Now, this was last April, and perhaps people were still a little bit reticent to go back on public transport. It also shows that the journey time on cars is typically about 29 minutes for those who travel by car, but that the journey time on trains and Lewis and whatever is nearly an hour. So cars are far faster than public transport. It shows the same thing on buses. It's like 45, 46, 47 minutes typical compared to 29 minutes. So public transport is slow compared to private transport. And that is one factor, I think, which probably we have to accept. The fastest way to travel, according to this, is obviously by foot or on bikes. But that's probably related to the fact that people who do that live near to their work. The other thing which is very striking, I thought, was the number of people getting up earlier and earlier earlier and earlier to get to work. You find that the number of people getting up before 6.30, hitting the road before 6.30 is up 25% or thereabouts. The number of people hitting the road for the next half hour is up nearly 50%.
Right, so the people who get up early in the morning, there are a lot of them out there.
It's a mad race to get to work. You can see that in the transport. You can see that in the congestion. You can see wherever people are going and travelling for their work. You can, and on that, it is worth noting that wherever that traffic is, if you look at the population growth, and if we've underestimated it, and if it's all oriented towards the east part of the country, it really is important to go back and have a look and make sure that the development of the regional cities, apart from Dublin, is progressed, because you can't have all of this transport and people chasing earlier and earlier times when we're supposed to be developing the other cities and all of the growth in the population and everything is there. One thing which just strikes me on that in terms of work, which comes through if you look through the numbers, is that maybe something is reflecting about our enterprise culture. There are fewer, a smaller percentage of people are employed as self-employed. And while 17% is down to 13%. Now, is that a function of the fact that maybe there are lots of jobs out there? Or is there something wrong with the enterprise culture? Because if we got a growth in population but fewer self-employed people proportionately, maybe we should be looking at that too.
We only have a minute left, and I could ask you about 10 different subjects, but let's pick hospitals. What does this report, what do these figures tell us about our future needs?
Well, firstly, it tells us that we're not feeling as healthy as we were. There's been that reduction in the number of people who have been reporting themselves as being in good health or very good health, which was quite a surprising drop. Now, it may well be due to the fact
and
that
more
we came
younger
after
people saying younger that people, their health isn't great.
In the second half of their 30s, a significant drop in people reporting themselves as being very good health. But again, remember, this came after COVID, so we don't know whether that influenced that. But what it does show again is that all of the population pressures, there's been a significant increase in the number of people over the age of 85, for instance, so there's a 25% increase. There's a 22% increase in the number of people describing themselves as are being retired. So all of the ageing population shows that there will be pressure on the health system. And again, in population numbers, if you look at what's coming down the line, you've got to provide all the health service for all of these. The age, one of the things which is striking is that the big bulk of population is the age of 40-42. It's moved up and up and up. It's getting older and older. It doesn't take long before those people reach retirement age. Health considerations, hospital needs, they all start to grow after that age. And so all hospitals, there are not enough services in the hospital system for what seems to be coming through, and particularly if we've underestimated the growth in the population.
Yeah, like we say, it's fascinating stuff. George, thanks so much for that. That was George Lee, our environment correspondent.